Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Turning Towards Life. I'm Lizzie, and this is Justin, if you're watching us on the video. And if you're maybe listening later, another warm welcome to you. We have people listening live, people listening later on, people listening a year later, 2 years later. And so welcome to wherever you're listening from and at whatever time you're listening. This is a unrehearsed conversation between two friends, and we enjoy this so much, and it's like one of our favorite practices, I think, certainly for me, and I'm pretty sure for Justin anyway, that we do this every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. UK time. Justin and I live in London, and so that's the time zone and the slot that we found that worked for both of us, that didn't that basically meant it was going to be more likely that it would happen if we had a time that worked for both of us and didn't interrupt too many things. And so this is when we do it, 9 a.m. on a Sunday. And we also put it into a kind of bank online and on the podcast systems that exist in the world. Thankfully, Justin's Mr. Technical. And so we have this amazing way of putting everything out there so that people can listen whenever they want to. So you might be listening in 2040 or something, who knows. But for now, just to say welcome. And we have this lovely source from Justin by Kim Stafford to get stuck into, and a very warm good morning to you and a warm welcome, and thank you for being here with us. It makes such a difference that people listen, people comment, people engage with us in this way. It's very meaningful, and thank you for all of your ways that you've posted underneath each of the videos or sent us any feedback or told us what it's like to be with us. We very much appreciate it.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Morning, Lizzie. I just want to add to what Lizzie said. So how you can find us, you can find our website for Turning Towards Life at turningtowards.life. And you can find the podcast just on most podcast platforms if you search for Turning Towards Life. And you can join the Facebook group by searching for Turning Towards Life on Facebook, which is where you can watch live and join in the conversation. And then all of this comes from our shared work in a partnership called Third Space. And you can find us at wearethirdspace.org. And we invite you to come and see all of that and join in with us in whatever way you would like. So this source, which I brought this morning, the Sunday morning today, when we're live, Lizzie, you and I together, is 2 days after the we've had a national political election here in the UK. And one of the reasons I found myself wanting to pick this source is not so much to do with the specific outcome, of which there will be many different opinions in the world, but more to do with a period of history that it feels to me like we're going through, where truth is becoming increasingly called into question, where it's possible for people to lie their way very strongly through things and that be okay, where there are really urgent things that we need to turn towards that we don't seem to be turning towards. And I've been feeling my own body getting stirred in the midst of all of that. And in the spirit of this project, Lizzie wanting to find ways that to turn towards rather than turning away. And this one had been sitting in my inbox for a little while in support for that. So here it is, and I'm going to do what we usually do, which is I'm going to read it first, and then I guess you'll read it too, and we'll talk about it. So this is called Agenda in a Time of Fear. Be not afraid. When things go wrong, do right. Set out by the half light of the seeker, for the well-lit problem begins to heal. Learn tropism towards the difficult. We have not arrived to explain, but to sing. Young idealism ripens into an ethical life. Prune back regret to let faith grow. When you hit rock bottom, dig farther down. Grief is the seed of singing. Shame, the seed of song. keep seeing what you're not saying, plunder your reticence. Songbird guards a twig, its only weapon, a song.
Agenda in a time of fear. Be not afraid. When things go wrong, do right. Set out by the half-light of the seeker. For the well-lit problem begins to heal. Learn tropism towards the difficult. We have not arrived to explain, but to sing. Young idealism ripens into an ethical life. Prune back regret to let faith grow. When you hit rock bottom, dig further down. Grief is the seed of singing, shame the seed of song. Keep seeing what you are not saying. Plunder your reticence. Songbird guards a twig, its only weapon a song.
I was just telling you before we came on, Lizzie, that last night I went to see the amazing Amanda Palmer here in London. She's a singer, songwriter, artist, many, many things. And we sat together in the dark of the most beautiful venue, which is the Union Chapel in Islington, which is an extraordinary place. Thousands, I don't know how many people it holds, a few hundred, maybe a thousand people all cradled together in the dark. And one of the things that she said, the show was 4 hours long. She had many, many stories to tell. And one of the things that she said, which I want to bring in sort of as a way for me into this, these words from Kim Stafford. She said that when things feel very dark, when they look very dark, and there's always darkness in the world, it's never not been the case. And it's also the case now. There is a job to do, which is to create light wherever we can.
Mm.
And one of the things that I know about myself is that there are things that I can do that look like they're creating light, but are really just making myself feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that I don't want to just make myself feel better. That's the thing that I can often feel my body wanting to do, which is I feel really stirred up. Most important thing is make myself feel better. And then when I've made myself feel better, the job is done. But to make myself feel better, it doesn't seem to me to be sufficiently taking up the possibility of creating light, because light doesn't always make ourselves feel better. What light does, for example, is allow us to feel sad together, or to feel grief together, or to feel hope together. And in a way, it's the together part of it that's striking me the most. So that Kim Stafford's words start somewhere that we left off a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about Nachman of Bratislava and walking the very narrow bridge and not amplifying our fear. It seems to me that's a wonderful starting place, which is be not afraid. I don't think means don't feel anything. I think it means don't amplify. And then the question is, what is there to amplify together? Like, how might we together cultivate or pay attention to that which can both sustain us and also can give us the chance to respond in some way, and seeking by the half light, or singing, or turning ourselves towards the difficult. And actually, my favorite line in the whole thing today: prune back regret to let faith grow. Giving up, which seems to me to be giving up all the ways in which we look back at what we might have done and have ourselves be weighed down by the burden of missed opportunities or mistakes made. To actively prune that back. In other words, to seems to me to prune it is to not amplify that, to not have regret be there. She doesn't say banish regret. She says prune it back. Like it has its place. And what takes its place? Faith. Maybe the faith that we're here and that we can respond and that we have one another where we can find one another. So I read this and I find myself feeling a word that you coined and opened. And remembering of the capacity any of us have to make some choices about how we encounter what comes at us. Not, we don't have endless choice in first how we first encounter what comes our way, but then we have choices, mostly in how we are with one another.
Yeah, I feel similar about the hope of this poem, and that we have a human, I don't know what it is, maybe like a privilege, a human privilege that we get to respond. And I think this is speaking about sometimes we have this kind of automatic response to things, to feel like hearing a result that we don't like, we collapse or we give up or we withdraw or whatever, which is all really fine. And then those of us who love, which is all of us, who love the world and who love each other, something else has to happen, not just our initial response to things. And of course we could stay there for a very long time and be given up, but it's not a place that most people want to stay. You know, it's like, yes, I'm fearful and I'm crestfallen, but I would rather find something else as well as that. And I think that's what this poem speaks about, is the other part of what our response might be, in addition to our habitual response, our conditioned response, the one that is immediate. And I feel like this is a very big invitation into the beyondness, like the somethingness beyond my reaction to things when it feels hard and dark. And the fact that there's an invitation to the beyond makes me feel like, oh yeah, there's a hell of a lot more going on that's possible than my response to this, than my reaction to this. And I think each line of this has so many gifts in it. And like set out by the half light of the seeker. Like for me, that means there'll be people who are further along than me in inquiring here. And they might not be fully in the light, but there is a half light and I can hang on to the coattails of the half light. You know, there is more than meets the eye in terms of resources, this poem being one of them. That in the darkness we can reach for this poem and it paints a picture of the darkness and more, that allows us to step into someone else's inquiry, someone else's gift, who's been in the darkness and found something beyond. So to move towards and then keep going feels like the invitation of this whole poem, that, you know, when you hit rock bottom, dig further down. Even the notion of, oh, there's more than my rock bottom, you know, that even helps to know that rock bottom isn't actually that there's more. And it just feels like there are ways to tune into, to find resources through those who've gone before us and who've trodden these paths and who've written these poems. And we may be one of those things for other people too, each of us. And to see that there's a way that our connections with one another can serve to take us beyond ourselves. Ourselves being the small, fearful, frightenedness. And, you know, it's just in our practices every week to find sources. So the more we do that, the more I realize that there are so many people writing amazing things, reflecting on extraordinary stuff of the world that are all of our teachers. And if we look, there's incredible inspiration and hope in other people's experience that we can set out by their half light of their seekerness. And it makes me feel much more connected to the world to see things like that. And I feel like it's possible to feel at the moment that so much has gone kind of horribly wrong. And then in that wrongness, looking for resources to help and to heal, there's also so much of the opposite going on as well. There really is so much good and inspiring and meaningful invitation in the world through human beings.
I really love the way that you're reading this invitation in the second line of find, even if it's only a half light that someone else is carrying, find it and get into conversation, get into learning from one another, get into community, get into relationship. Because there's a way of reading this, which the first way of reading it, and maybe this is just, it's interesting for me to see that maybe this is just a way that my habitual way of reading it is to read it as if it's something I have to do on my own. Mm. I can feel that comes up. Oh, okay, this is difficult. Dig deeper, prune back my regret, learn to turn towards the difficult. And I think this is, I'm sure I'm not the only person in the world who has this as a sort of, that's my habit, particularly when I'm frightened, that's my habitual turn actually, is to go, I have to do this on my own. And I think fear can really do this to us. It can make us feel very alone. I have to do this alone. And then my, what I'm finding out about myself is that it's very, very easy for me to have a sort of an unquestioned assessment, which is, and I won't be up to it. I won't have the capacity. And then that's, of course, a very fearful place to be, which is to be afraid, to feel like I have to do something, to imagine that I won't have the capacity and that I'm all on my own. And of course, I think you're reading this both in a way that's really true and is also in these words, because Kim Stafford invites us to sing. And really our most powerful singing is together. When we sing together, and there's a wonderful line in a song that Amanda Palmer sang last week that I've been trying to figure out how to bring into Turning Towards Life, because it's a song and maybe we'll read the lyrics or something. And she's talking about singing about life's difficulties, and she sings, isn't it nice when we're all afraid at the same time? There's something really, really true about that, which is to be together in the midst of something. And so I'm really struck by two things. I'm struck by how easy it is for me to believe the story of my own body. I think it's a bodily story rather than it doesn't come first in thoughts, which is that I'm on my own. And the second one, and to believe the story that there's nothing I can do, that I don't have capacity, I won't be able to tolerate it. And I know, as I know now, just from being in conversation with you, Lizzie, that when we find our way into relationships where we can cultivate a kind of truthfulness and ground and mutual care and love and confidence in one another, which might be the kind of faith that Kim Stafford is talking about, the concerns and the darkness of the world themselves don't go away, but my and our capacity to respond to them are radically transformed. And the so the end of this thought is something like, maybe the first thing for us to do when we find ourselves in this situation is to wonder, who might I be with? Whose teaching, whose company, whose conversation, whose openness, whose community, whose whatever do I need to find? And not the sort of counterfeit communities that we sometimes find, like ranting away on Twitter or something. Or I don't think it's counterfeit to go and sit at the movies, but I think it's counterfeit kind of community. We go to a film and we all feel something together, and then we go home. There's no connection between anyone. Mm-hmm. So not those, as much as finding those places where our contact and presence with one another will awaken these qualities that Kim Stafford talks about, which are both our capacity to prune back our regret and to dig deeper when it's difficult, but also to sing. To sing together.
Yeah. I think for me, generally, this line, we have not arrived to explain but to sing, is of deep relief. I feel like maybe it's the kind of political landscape and, you know, the news or whatever and what's going on at the moment in the world, but the kind of intensity of explaining that's happening all the time, like everything is kind of being questioned, everything's being answered, there's so much intellectual kind of tennis going on. And this line, we've not arrived to explain but to sing, is such a relief. Like, you know, what if it's a real basic human thing that's a requirement of a human life is to sing in order to feel well, in order to experience wellness. And our practices are so caught up in rational thought and explanation and picking things apart and putting them back together again and having the answer to things or whatever. And singing's not that. And to have a narrative of we've arrived here to sing. It's like, and you know, not only to sing, but 100 other things too, but that singing has its value. And to sing is to be present and to make beauty and to be creative. And it just feels like a breath of life into a time of where our focus has just got so the other way from singing. And I feel really enhopened by that as well, and also validated in Kim's way of saying how valuable that is. That has a value, that part of life has a value. And, you know, there's a way of responding to things that's not of the logical kind. You know, I think that's, from what I'm hearing you say, Justin, I can see for myself as well, like something's difficult and we do the same old thing to try and solve it and think that the outcome's going to be different. And then when something comes in, like an invitation to sing or an invitation to see what I'm not saying or to see shame as the seed of song, it's like, oh, okay, so I've got my habitual response and my habitual kind of behavior around something happening. But can I kind of cut through that with another suggestion that's really different to how I would approach this from my normal Lizziness? And for me, I think that the miracle of that never fails to astonish me, that there is another way that's not my way. And may I always be invited into the other ways that are not my way and see what happens. Because that for me feels like where my growth can happen, is that I can be invited out of my habitualness into something totally unobvious to me that I think, and which, by the way, I probably have cynicism around. Like, oh, singing's not going to solve anything, or, you know, doing that practice isn't going to fix this problem. And then my openness allowed me to do it, to participate in a different way. And some other kind of magic opens up, which is of a different kind of order than the thing I was grappling with. And so having that invitation that cuts across or cuts through my well-worn, I'm sure this will make this better behavior, or it will solve it or something. Have something cut across that, for me, feels like a proper miraculousness and a gift of being human, is that that's possible. We don't have to stay in the thing that we're in. If we want to shift, it's possible. And the thing that will help us is something very unobvious and often quite startling and weird. And why would that even work? Because my interpretation of things, my structure of the way I hold the world, doesn't allow that thing in naturally. But if I get present and commit to my growth, I can allow weird and wonderful things in that just create different outcomes. And that for me is what this poem is an invitation to, is letting singing be valuable when I'm trying to solve a maths problem. You know, like that kind of, those two things being right next to each other and it being possible that they can be next to each other and seeing what's different by letting that be. So
appreciating the direction this conversation has turned towards, Lizzie, that when we're in the bigger point, that when we're in some kind of difficulty or stuckness, that very often it's a shift in our practices, and maybe often a shift in our practices together towards something that's really not obvious can really help us. So the thought that I'd had two thoughts whilst you were speaking. So one was, I have been caught up this week, some around the election and some in other areas, in what have felt to me like pretty sharp and difficult online exchanges, you know, text typing things. And that world invites us into a particular kind of practice and orientation to one another. I notice in that world, I feel raw, exposed, easily angry, confused, all kinds of stuff. How different it would be to sing with those people with whom, you know, that world only affords us one very disembodied, very hard-edged languaged way of relating to one another. And then you talk about what singing is, to sing with people even with whom you disagree, to be in the same room and sing something together as a way of radically being in different relationship to one another is so, it's so exciting and illuminating to see that world, the online world, creates a particular mode of engagement, as do our own habits and our own ordinary orientations. And the other thing is, you'll know, because I've spoken with you about it a lot and I've spoken about it a bit here, I've been doing cold water winter swimming, and that goes completely against all my ordinary ways of doing things. And when I slip into the water and get held in this really fierce cold, the whole world is different in all kinds of ways. And maybe this is one of the many, many themes that we've been exploring together over these 2 years of talking with one another, is how surprising it can be that a shift in our practices, a shift in the how we're doing life, and even sometimes in small places, like starting it in this place, having a place where I have these people and this something that I've not been up to before. What a powerful and necessary support it is for our turning into life and not just keeping the same habitual way in which the world is for us going.
Yeah. And as you're talking, it strikes me that so often it needs another person or people to help us find the thing that's not obvious to us. Because if it was obvious, we'd find it ourselves. But to have other people that tell us, bring us things, that say things that, you know, might sound strange, but that we're willing because we love them to do them, it feels, or that we respect them or whatever, it feels like we're necessary to each other in order to take up these invitations. I'm reminded there was an argument in our house earlier this week, and the kind of argument that happens here between certain people is a kind of intellectual tennis match, is how I see it. And in the middle of the argument, and I happened to be kind of present and mediating and bobbing a baby around and wondering whether this was, you know, going to turn into a bigger argument. And I found myself saying, well, should we just literally stop? Let's just stop. And instead of arguing about the facts of who sent this text message and when the WhatsApp message came and who responded when and doing that, what if we just see if we can appreciate each other's intentions just for a minute, and then we can carry on with that argument afterwards? And we did this round of appreciation of each other's intentions, and the argument was different after that, and people cried and things shifted. And nobody wanted to do that. Nobody thought of that themselves in it, but because I wasn't in the argument directly, I had a different perspective, and I could say, well, can we just press pause for a minute just for the sake of, you know, being together for longer than we would be if this argument carried on. And in that moment, the sinking down into something different than what was just ordinarily going to come out and what has come out 100,000 times before, we talked about something more heartfelt, which was what we appreciated about each other in the middle of an argument, which, as anybody knows, in an argument, you want to be right and you want to win. And so righteousness and winning came off the table just temporarily. It can come back on again in a minute, but temporarily it came off the table. And we found a way that was very, very different. And immediately everything softened. There were tears, and the underneathness was revealed. And then the course of events changed. And I think that's the, you know, and I hope people will continue to do that for me in my life when I'm in a kerfuffle or an argument with another person and someone says, hold on a second, let's just reorient ourselves. And to have that, you know, if you're in a two-person situation, to have a third person, or if you're in your own fight with yourself, having a second person, or if you're in a family, having a family therapist or whatever it is, but to have that person who's not in the dynamic reminding us of different things that are not what I would think of myself feels so crucial to this all being possible.
That's such a beautiful place for us to end, Lizzie, today, with the reminder that there's always another way.
Mm.
And that the ways that we have are often the only ways that seem available to us at the time. The gift of another, of not another answer, not the resolution, but another way to take the next step.
Yeah.
And that there really are ways that bring us into contact with one another and have us find our shared humanity, and also have us find our shared aliveness with everything else on the earth as well, that we can take up practices that way, or we can take up practices that sort of split us and distance us from ourselves and get us caught in very, very tight spaces. It's a wonderful, wonderful, I think, place to have arrived at halfway in, half an hour into our conversation.
Mm.
So thank you, Lizzie, and really thank you everyone who's with us from all over the world. I thought one day we should see how many different countries people are joining us from, because it's pretty wide and far. And to say thank you again,
mm-hmm,
to all of you for being with us and for making this possible. We're so glad to do this with you. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody. See you next week. Bye.